Sounds good. Okay, so the Parsha talks about a quote-unquote trick that Rivka and Yaakov play on Yitzchak. And there's a lot of sources that Yitzchak knew that it was really Yaakov. So I thought maybe it would be shaykh to do a shayla on different types of... you'll see a trick, whatever. If Zorosan brings down a certain case, but he said it didn't happen to a Jew, but he wanted to see what the answer would be to the case. He said the case goes as follows. There was a certain fundraiser who was starting a new hospital in a certain country, and to start a new hospital, it's very expensive to be able to start a new hospital. So what happens? You see the big guns in town, and you try to hack them up, right? So one of these guys, he was a millionaire, and he tried to persuade him to give him some money. So he said, we're starting this new hospital. Can you please help us build the hospital? He said, okay, fine. Here's $1,000. $1,000? You're a millionaire. Come on. The guy's badgering. Then the guy offers $3,000 to $5,000. He said, come on, you're a millionaire. Come on, let's go. Literally, now you can just imagine. The guy is so frustrated. You know what he tells him? Here's a check for $100,000. Go to the bank and take it out. Guy is so happy, one of these guys, a handling guy. He went from 1 to 3 to 5 to 100. Kavaldik, Baruch Hashem. Wants to be a 100,000-aire, whatever. They don't have a show like now. It's Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I don't know if it's still have that. It used to be back in the day. Lamaisa, this guy now goes to the bank. What happens? He goes to the bank. Here, I got a check from Mr. So-and-so. Insufficient funds. What happened? The guy says, no, the guy wrote me a check. $100,000. He said, no, there's only 90,000 in the bank. So the guy's like, oh, I see what the guy was trying to do. Now he's just trying to get rid of me. But you know what I'm going to show him? I'm going to try to one-up him. He goes home to his friend. He says, Yankel. I don't know if the guy was Yankel. Randy. Randy, can I get a... Randy, I don't know. First name that came to my mind. Randy, can I get $10,000 and I'll pay you back? He's like, sure, no problem. Here's $10,000. He goes to the bank. He says, here, I'm putting $10,000 in the bank into that account. I don't know how he had the passwords or whatever. Maybe the guy gave him the information. He gives the bank the $10,000, and then he takes out all the $100,000. The next day, you can imagine that the millionaire, he thought he's tricking this guy. He's only getting rid of him. He's giving him $100,000, and then the guy's gonna realize there's only 90 left in the bank. He's so upset. Give me my money back. You're a stealer. You're a ganav. You're a goslin, whether by day or by night. Give me back the $90,000 you stole. I don't know where you got the other 10, but that's not my problem. Give me my $90,000 back. So for Zobrist, he wanted to say...
He didn't want to give him anything at all?
He just wanted to play a trick on him, myself. But he said, you know what, I'll write you a check for $100,000 from the bank. But really, there's only 90, and you won't get anything, myself. So Rav Zerbersi now goes, how would a Jewish court, a Beis Din, I guess, pass on this? So basically, Rav Zerbersi says that the guy is obligated 100% to return their money back to the millionaire. Why? The Shulchan Aruch Paskins, in Choshen Mishpat, Simen Reish, Mem, Beis, Sif Aleph, that if a person only gives a gift because he was forced to, because there was pressure put on that person, right? He can always get it back. He can always get it back from him. Meaning that it was actually his full intent to be able to give it to him. So much so, the Sma brings down that a person is forced by not even a threat of violence. There's a certain social pressure or a certain type of different pressure. There's absolutely no reason why the person can't get the gift back. Zubristan then quotes the Baal Tani, the Shulchan Aruch Harav, and Hilchas Nizke Momon, Yurches, that the same thing applies to any gift that wasn't, or any type of debt that wasn't given with a full heart. It has no validity. It never really came into essence. He then quotes, he doesn't have a shame gift, Lamaisa. He doesn't have a shame matan, because he never actually fully wanted to give it. He then quoted the Gemara Bava Basra on Chesem and Beis that talks about, in Yirmiyahu, that talks about different people who force, who are basically, the Pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not happy with these people. And who do these people apply to? The Gemara says that these apply to people who collect staka, and they're overly zealous, meaning they push people who don't really want to give, and they force them to give. Those people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I don't want to have anything to do with them. So therefore, the Rav Zilberstein concludes Lamaisa, saying that he has to give all the money back. Just the last thing he quotes is Gemara and Ksubas on Ayin Chesem and Beis. It goes out to Ayin Chesem and Aleph. There's once a widow who had a lot of money, and she had a daughter from her first marriage, and she was getting remarried to her second husband. So what she wanted to do to make sure that if the things didn't work out with her second husband, she wanted to give all the money to her daughter. So she wrote a shtar that all her money should go to her daughter. She gets married. What happened? And then she gets divorced. So now, what happens? She goes to her sister. She goes to her daughter now, and she wants the Gemara says that she wants the shtar back. It didn't work out, but now she wants the shtar back. She only did that to be able to not make sure the husband didn't get it. So they come to Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman takes the contract. And you ever go in one of these test rooms and someone cheats on a test? Rav Nachman takes the chas v'shalom, can't cheat on a test, takes the contract and rips it up. So why are you ripping it up? Because the only reason why you wrote the shtar in the first place was to make sure the husband didn't get it. But it wasn't a real matana. It wasn't a real thing. So in Meretz Hashem, in our lives, we should make sure that anything we do should be with 100% lishmanis, if that's a word, should be with 100% full wholeheartedly. And in Meretz Hashem, with full kavana, we should be zochim Meretz Hashem to continuously grow in our avodas Hashem.